Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I have all kinds of stuff. We'll get to a bunch of emails and things like that. Talk about Daniel Penny a bit this hour. In fact, I'll probably get to that first. Then we'll do some emails, maybe some voicemails and some other things. Remember, it's a fun show tonight. It's Christmas season. I can't get the smile off my face. That's great news about Daniel Penny, but it is also Monday. That means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday at this time, we do the exact same thing. We take a Medal of Honor citation. We read it. We must remember these men. We must remember their deeds. Most of these names, be honest, most of these names, you never heard of them before. Me too. I do these things all the time. Most of these names, I don't know. And these are names we should know. These are the names, our schools should be named after these people. These are names we should know, but we don't. And so we have to read these things. Do it with your family, with the school class you teach, your little league team, whatever it is. Spread these things around. They inspire people. They create a better culture. And we take email suggestions if you have ones you know, maybe family, friend, or maybe just ones you love, you can email us, love, hate, death, threats, and Medal of Honor suggestions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We got this one. Jesse, I have a suggestion. David C. Dolby, Medal of Honor Vietnam, Profile of an American Warrior, Behind the Lines, November, December, reads a great story of him, date of birth, so on and so forth. I knew him personally. I love your shows. She didn't say I could use her name, so I will not, but now, let's find out what Mr. David Charles Dolby did when he was in the Army in Vietnam, and it is quite a tale.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, when his platoon, while advancing tactically, suddenly came under intense fire from the enemy located on a ridge immediately to the front. Six members of the platoon were killed instantly, and a number were wounded, including the platoon leader. Sergeant Dolby's every move brought fire from the enemy. However, aware that the platoon leader was critically wounded and that the platoon was in a precarious situation, Sergeant Dolby moved the wounded men to safety and deployed the remainder of the platoon to engage the enemy. Subsequently, his dying platoon commander ordered Sergeant Dolby to withdraw the forward elements to rejoin the platoon. Despite the continuing intense enemy fire and with utter disregard for his own safety, Sergeant Dolby positioned able-bodied men to cover the withdrawal of the forward elements, assisted the wounded to the new position, and he alone attacked enemy positions until his ammunition was expended. Replenishing his ammunition, he returned to the area of most intense action, single-handedly killed three enemy machine gunners, and neutralized the enemy fire, thus enabling friendly elements on the flank to advance on the enemy redoubt. He defied the enemy fire to personally carry a seriously wounded soldier to safety where he could be treated, and, returning to the forward area, he crawled through withering fire to within 50 meters of the enemy bunkers and threw smoke grenades to mark them for airstrikes. Although repeatedly under fire at close range from enemy snipers and automatic weapons, Sergeant Dolby directed artillery fire on the enemy and succeeded in silencing several enemy weapons. He remained in his exposed location until his comrades had displaced the more secure positions. His actions of unsurpassed valor during 4 hours of intense combat were the source of inspiration to his entire company, contributed significantly to the success of the overall assault on the enemy position, and were directly responsible for saving the lives of a number of his fellow soldiers. Sergeant Dolby's heroism was in the highest tradition of the U.S. Army. You know, we've had this talk before, but you cannot imagine how having people dead and wounded changes and screws up everything, even when it's in peacetime. Everything is part of a team. You know, everything, you have a team. One guy's supposed to do this, another guy's supposed to do that, and you train that way. And then when you're out, this guy's supposed to not only do this, this guy's carrying this. This guy's got the radio. This guy has three extra mortar rounds. This guy has this. Everybody has their own thing. But part of the horrific nature of an ambush, jungles extremely so, is they're waiting for you. They're planning. And like it said, six guys dead immediately. Boom, gone. And how many wounded? So those six guys and their gear gone out of the fight. You're still under fire. But other guys are seriously wounded. Oh, and did I mention the platoon leader? It would have been an officer, of course. I didn't mean that derogatively. Just a platoon leader is, in general, an officer, unless something bad has happened. It's a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, usually something like that. But a platoon leader who would have been the man in charge, he's critically wounded. So now you had all these guys. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's wounded. And the guy who's supposed to be in charge, he's dying over there on the ground. What are we going to do? Well, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're all going to die unless somebody steps up and takes control of the situation and does some amazing things. And even then, you might die. Even then. But it's the only chance you have. The only chance you have is one guy stepping up saying, sir, you go here, you go there, you come back with me, I will carry you to safety, you bring the ammo over here, I'll mark these targets, let's get some artillery fire in. Your platoon walks into an ambush in the jungle, you could very easily lose them all. You know there are stories like that? They don't tell those stories a lot. Mainly because you don't know what the story completely is. But I remember reading about MACV SOG group. It would be Green Berets, like super spec ops types in Vietnam. That one group I read about, they just never came back. And no one ever heard from them again. They dropped them off. And what happened? Oh, I don't know. You don't know. No one will ever know. They died somewhere in a foreign land. That'll happen to you. You go out and you walk into the wrong ambush. And if it's laid out correctly, and if the enemy did the right thing and they plan for, you see, when you're laying out an ambush, they'll plan also for fallback positions. One of our guys, if I remember right, this is in Vietnam as well, one of our units, there was an ambush where it was very well set up. And right by the ambush site, there was a big ditch. And the ditch, if you're looking at it, it's a natural place you would go. If you're in an ambush, let's dive under the ditch. Well, the Vietnamese had planned for that, and they had planted something really flammable in there. So as soon as they opened up on our guys, the whole platoon, I think it was a platoon, might have been a company, dove into the ditch, and then boom, they lit all our guys on fire. You can all disappear in the jungle like that. You can't. Unless you get some lion to step up and take charge. Pretty friggin' awesome, right?
really freaking awesome. The guy is buried at Arlington. If you ever want to go look the guy's name up, David C. Dolby, Vietnam. Yeah, I looked him up. He's in Arlington. And before we get back to the news, speaking of Marines, we're going to talk about Daniel Penny and all these other things. I really think if you have the opportunity to do so, I realize money doesn't grow on trees. Maybe you'll never have a chance to get back there. If you're ever in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, go to Arlington National Cemetery. And nobody wants to say this, but I'll tell you how I felt about it. So maybe it's something how you felt. I always respected it, obviously. That's where our warriors are buried. But I thought to myself, well, why do I have to go see it? It's just a bunch of white crosses and various tombs and the Stars of David and stuff like that there too, Chris. But there's all that stuff there in Arlington Ceremony, Arlington Cemetery. Why do I have to go see it? When you go see it, you'll understand. They have the guys and many of their awards and their service. They have it etched on their tombstone. And there are names that you will find you're on your phone half the time. Only instead of putting selfies on Instagram, please don't do that in Arlington, I should note. Instead of putting selfies on Instagram, you're reading this guy's resume from his tombstone, and you're all, wait a minute, this guy fought in World War I and World War II? How's that even possible? And you're looking up his name, and it's powerful. Go to Arlington. If you have kids, once they're old enough, and not when they're the little snots, but once they're old enough, take them to Arlington. I wish our boys had been a little older when we took them. They were still in that 2 or 3 year old little snot phase where they're not grasping it all that much. But Arlington is major powerful. I'm going to take my boys again now that they're old enough to appreciate it. And speaking of appreciating it, let's talk about Tunnel to Towers really quickly. When a warrior doesn't come home, families are left behind. That's something that'll hit you in Arlington. I'll tell you what, that's another thing you can't get from pictures on the internet. You'll see people crying there. You will. You'll see a widow sobbing there. You'll see people crying. How do you help people left behind? Well, that's what Tunnel to Towers does. Gold Star families, fallen first responder families, Tunnel to Towers is there helping them, paying off their mortgages, doing whatever they can do to just lift someone up in the worst time of their lives. I love Tunnel to Towers. I so respect them and how they operate. And all they've ever asked for is $11 a month. Can you do that? Help them take care of these families. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. Help them help these families. Let's talk a little bit about this Daniel Penny stuff and why do these commies love street crime? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it's been an amazing Monday. Remember, if you want to email us, you can, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Get to some emails and some voicemails here in a few. I did want to do one other thing. I'm going to talk just briefly about this Daniel Penny being found not guilty. United States Marine gets on a subway. There's some drugged out maniac, Jordan Neely. He's there spouting off his mouth about how he's going to hurt people. Daniel Penny puts him in a chokehold. The guy was still alive when the cops showed up, ends up keeling over. Surprise, surprise, guy's on a bunch of drugs. And then Alvin Bragg, the committed George Soros communist, did what he did, decided to charge this guy and try to throw him in prison. Now, there are a lot of different things going on, but what you really need to understand conceptually, we'll zoom down to the street level here in a moment, but conceptually, remember, the American communist loves violent crime, violent street crime, and violent street criminals. And it's not because he's necessarily misguided or he's just too nice. They're too naive. They don't. It has nothing to do with that at all. Are there people involved in that movement who are just extra nice and naive? Of course, but that is not why they love street crime. Communists love street crime because violent crime, making people fear for their own safety
and fear for their children's safety. Destabilizing a society in that way always, 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 always helps the communist gain more power. When people are afraid, when you help break up a society, when you create that kind of angst in a society, inevitably people will turn to government and say, do something, help us. It helps destabilize society, helping along the revolution. As you know, if you listen to this show, the Soviet Union, Lenin opened up the prisons, all of them. Why? Because he wanted more violence in the Soviet Union. If there was a career criminal who was trying to stab you, you had to let him. If you stopped him, you had to either let him or run away. If you stopped him, you would be charged with a crime. Why? It doesn't make sense unless you understand street violence helps them destabilize things, which helps them gain more power. Daniel Penny types. It's not just that they can't be rewarded for being heroes like he should be rewarded. In the mind of the communist, you must make a public example of anyone trying to stop that street crime so they will stop trying to do it. Now, that's the 30,000-foot view. If you get down to the street animal view, there's a race aspect to this that goes to America's cultural Marxism, which we have here. And that race aspect is this: the thinking that all white people are oppressors and privileged, and everyone else of every kind, black, brown, Muslim, whatever it is, as long as you're not an American white man, you are the good guy. You are inherently the good guy. And even when you do bad, you are supposed to be allowed to do bad because you are the oppressed. They look at everything through that worldview of the oppressed and the oppressor. And what you've done, what you've done individually means absolutely nothing. You could be a white guy who's a total saint. They don't care. For them, you're still the enemy. You could be a black guy who worships Satan in his off time when he's not diddling kids. And even for them, you would be thought of as a hero. That's how they view everything. It's deeply, deeply sick. And it's why they roll out the street animals in Black Lives Matter to talk like this.
If you look at the facts of this case, then you understand that Daniel Penny is guilty. But today, white supremacy got another victory. Today, the KKK, the Klansmen, the evil in America got another victory. They got that top charge dismissed. America shall continue to America.
And this.
We need some black vigilantes.
That's right.
That's
people
right.
Want to jump up and choke us.
Recognize
and kill us for being loud. How about we do the same when they attempt to oppress us?
Can I get a witness?
And of course, you had to put the cherry on top with this one.
Because to be real, they didn't even try. Once the lesser charge was removed, they came back an hour later and said it was deadlock. Less than an hour and 20 minutes later, they said not guilty. These wonderful white people, I hope they celebrate their Christmas while the Neely family is praying and asking God for comfort. Them and America.
We had to beep out that last part because it was GD them and GD America and all that. It was not for children's ears, if you will. I only brought this up, one, to celebrate, two, to remind you the American communist loves street violence. As long as it's not done by a white man, the American communist loves street violence. Period. End of story. It's part of how they push their revolution forward and destabilize a society. I do want to have one more brief word on this about Daniel Penny, because what happened today was not justice, not by a long shot. I will explain what I mean in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's talk about pain. Living with it sucks, doesn't it? Just sucks. It really, it takes your life And it turns the excitement level down, because when you have this pain, your hand always hurts, your knees bugging you, your back, you stop doing things you want to do just because it hurts. So it's natural human response to stop. What if I could take that pain away, or at least turn it way down? What would it mean if you could go back to doing everything you used to do? You know, that's what Relief Factor does for people. It's 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. Your body's trying to fight that inflammation. This is help for your body in that fight. It's giving your body reinforcements. Take it for 3 weeks. It's $19.95 for 3 weeks. Just try it for 3 weeks and see if that pain doesn't evaporate from your life. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? One more word on Daniel Penny and justice before we get to emails. Next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And just one final word on this Daniel Penny thing. Being found not guilty is not justice. When you have an evil prosecutor charging you with crimes, ridiculous crimes, trying to manipulate the process, destroying your reputation, you know this guy's going to have some sort of security or change his name, your life upended. That is not justice. We have to start finding a way. Now, in New York City, it's not going to be easy, but we have to start finding a way to punish evil people in government who do evil acts. I realize there's going to be a lawsuit. That's great. I don't know if there's a way we can find, I don't know, if the DOJ can do something. I don't know. You personally don't do anything, please. I'm talking about legal action. There has to be a way to give Daniel Penny justice. Because Daniel Penny being acquitted when he shouldn't even have been charged, he should have been called down to City Hall and received a medal on camera. Instead, you tried to send him to prison in New York. That's not justice at all. At all. We have to figure that out. It's time to counterbalance things in this country. Also, before I get to the emails, I thought I should probably update you on the mouse problem in the house. Maybe you missed Friday's show, so I'll just briefly update you that I got a pretty panicked phone call from the wife. She was busy throwing out a lot of the food in the pantry, which was expensive. Sorry to sound like Chris, but it was. But that's because we had some mice apparently get into our house.
and they were eating through things and booping on things, and she's just mortified beyond belief. And I explained Friday how I may be the world's greatest trapper. I may be made for this. This is how I grew up, catching squirrels and turtles, and I've eradicated more mice and rats from places. And I told you this weekend I was going to dig in, and maybe you're sitting there thinking right now, wow, Jesse, I have so much respect for you. You're basically a hero of mine. I'm sure you defeated the mice this weekend, but you'd be wrong. You see, this war is a long war. It's not taken care of in a quick weekend. I did get several traps laid out. Again, a multi-pronged attack. I have the little poison trap. Even though it's covered so Fred can't get into it. Don't worry. I have some less advanced traps with peanut butter on them, some more advanced traps. My house is a walking mouse trap. But for the purposes of our show today, I want to give you an update on what happened Friday night. I set up four traps. I got home. James, my boy, came out, helped me. We set up these traps. We got them all set up in the right spots. And me, just it's just natural instinct. I know where to put the what, Chris? I know where to put these mouse traps. And we set out four. You with me? Four. All four of them had peanut butter on it. Wake up Saturday morning, James and me meet in the kitchen, and pretty much first thing we said, let's check the traps. We're thinking we're going to have a trap. We look, the first two traps, untouched. Okay, not the end of the world. We see a third trap that has been snapped, and it is turned upside down in the pantry. So something snapped it and got away, and it's turned upside down. That's, you know, that could maybe be explained with maybe Fred got in there. Fred is a huge peanut butter fan. Maybe Fred got in there, stuck his nose on there, got snapped a little bit or something. That could maybe be explained by Fred. Until you get to the fourth trap. Do you know where the fourth trap is? No, I'm actually asking because I don't. The fourth trap is gone. I'm not kidding. It was not in a place where removing it would be easy. It was trapped in the little food pantry. So we start moving things out. Maybe there's a mouse or a rat half snapped in there. Gone. Completely gone. I'm not sure what we're dealing with here. I don't understand how a mouse, even if I half snapped him, I don't understand how he could get half snapped and then, what did he do, the little bipod thing and crawl off? What, Chris, what? That's a great call. Okay, so I should have thought of that. Chris said this was the perfect excuse to get NVGs. But I'll tell you what I did do. We were so concerned. We racked our brains thinking, what could possibly be in here? What just took the trap away? Like, nothing could just take the trap away. That doesn't happen. So I bought a couple. They're super cheap, Chris. Did you know this? Like $24.99. I bought a couple of these cameras. I know everyone else probably already knew these things existed. I did not. This was news to me. These little mini cameras that are also motion sensitive that have now been charged, and they're set up in the pantry with the night vision. What are we going to find? I don't know. Look, I don't know what we're going to find. This may be a totally different animal. It could be a dinosaur. I don't have any idea. It could be, who knows what it is. Now, don't think for a second that Jesse the Trapper is dissuaded at all. Whatever it is, I will find it. And I will kill it, and I will get it out of my house. It just doesn't look like it's going to be a two-day struggle. Okay, this may be a different animal, and that's fine. A great hunt is good. Why? Because of the challenge of the great hunt. If this animal thinks, don't shake your head, Chris. If this animal thinks it's going to escape me, it's got another thing coming. I'll tell you that much. It has no idea what's coming for it. Papa King, Papa Cream King of the Man Purse. What's your thoughts on the overtime tax exemption Trump put forth during his policy announcements before the election? My job is filled with overtime being offered by over 1,200 hours of overtime on top of 40 hours a week. You think it's a good idea. Okay, now, we used to live and die because I've worked mostly hourly jobs in my life. Overtime was our lifeblood. Time and a half, double time. People would always express sympathy. Oh, sorry, you had to work an extra. I'm sorry you worked 50 hours this week instead of 40. We all wanted it because it was so much more money. We needed it to help with the bills. It was wonderful. The time and a half is the bomb. Like when you see these hourly employees, some of them, of course, don't want to be there, but someone's working Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve. Lots of times they volunteer. That's double time, man. That's real money. Anyway, I love anything that means you paying fewer taxes, anything, because you are so overtaxed to the max. However, this is what I despise about our tax system now that they have overcomplicated it to this point. This is tax and that's tax, but there's a tax here and a tax exemption there, but there's the mortgage tax exemption. But if you invest so much here, then there's this tax. Oh my gosh, it should not be this way. Taxes should be extremely simple, and everyone has a different opinion on what they want taxes to be. And if you're going to email me your opinion, I'll probably agree with it. Jesse, we should just have only a national sales tax, like the fair tax. That used to be a big thing. Yeah, fine. Love the fair tax. Sounds good. Jesse, we should just have a national flat tax. You know, 10% of everything. If 10% is good enough for Jesus, it's good for the federal government. Yep, totally agree. Sounds good. Let's do that. Jesse, it should just be property taxes. It should yes, fine. But whatever it should be, it should be simple. And for reasons exactly like this question he just asked, it's way too complicated and it should not be this way. Because what happens is people, the different politicians will run, they'll take their own special sector and they'll say, I'm going to give you a tax exemption. Like one Trump proposal, which I love, no taxes on tips. In a way, I hate it. I don't want you to pay taxes on your tips, but so only the people who earn a living from tips get tax exemptions? You see, everything about it becomes unfair. I want the same tax plan for every single person. That's what I want. I don't even believe in any kind of a progressive tax. I think it's crazy that rich people pay a higher percentage. That's nuts. Now, we'll get to some more emails and a little bit more about our foreign policy, Mitch McConnell stuff. And yes, I'm aware the New York killer was found today, allegedly. But I want to first talk to you about getting your testosterone levels up, fellas. First, when's the last time you got them checked? How's your energy? How do you feel? Are you out of gas a lot? How is your mood? This is a huge red flag that men will ignore because of our nature. Are you just down a lot? Not in a good mood anymore? You know that might be testosterone, right? You need testosterone. And you can fix your low T naturally. Chalk's Male Vitality Stack, natural herbal supplements, have your T levels up 20% in 90 days. You will feel like a different person with 20% more testosterone. Go see what I mean. If it doesn't work, cancel your subscription, but at least try it. Might change the whole rest of your life. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to more of those in a moment. So that gunman who assassinated that United Healthcare CEO, I'm sure you already heard, they busted the guy down in Atlanta today. He was ID'd in McDonald's, of all things. But yeah, they got him. At a glance, again, we don't know. I'm actually not going to say his name here on the air because all these are still allegations. I could tell you his name. I'm sure you've already read his name, but I know I'm a little abnormal in this. I actually hate mugshots when people are arrested, even when it's a celebrity you don't like. Look at John Travolta with his DUI picture. Well, he wasn't convicted of any crimes yet. Wasn't convicted of anything. He was charged with something. Charged and convicted are two different things. And now that we have this evil justice system in so many parts of the country, they go after only the good guys. Not that they always haven't done that to some extent, but now they go after the good guys. Well, I don't like it. So they think they have the guy. and he looks like a nutball. And he does not look like the pro, semi-pro that I thought he was, because he still had the murder weapon on him. Just a heads up, please don't ever murder anybody. I'm asking you not to commit any crimes. Should you ever commit a crime, though, it is best if you don't carry the murder weapon across 57 states. That's an old Obama joke for those who remember Obama thinking there were 57 states. Anyway, please don't take the murder weapon with you. In general, you kind of let that go. Also, I wonder if Biden will give him a preemptive pardon, too.
Preemptive pardons on the table of President
Trump. I'm just not.
Sorry, this is Korean Diversity Hire being asked about the potential for preemptive pardons for Fauci, Millie, Liz Cheney, and others.
Preemptive pardons on the table of President
Trump. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to get into get ahead of the president. Certainly, the president is looking at reviewing next steps, and there will be more to come. I'm just not going to get ahead of the president. I'm not going to get into hypotheticals from here.
Yeah, they're absolutely considering preemptive pardons, and I'm sure right now they're going through, well, what is the fallout going to be? Because here's how they're going to sell preemptive pardons if they sell them, if they decide on it. They're going to sell it, or at least try to sell it as, well, we're stopping Trump's lawfare. Now, you already understand what they're actually doing, trying to cover up crimes they've committed. The thing they have to worry about, though, is not you or me. They already know you understand the game. They already know that you know they've committed crimes and they're covering it up. They're never worried about you. They're always trying to figure out how to sell this to Norm and Norma, the normies out there. How do you sell this? And I'm sure in their minds, they think, hey, if we stop them from putting these people through trial, then we don't look as bad. And maybe we can make Trump look bad by preemptively pardoning them. But this is another thing the Biden pardoning Hunter thing really screwed them on. Biden giving Hunter Biden this huge blanket pardon even outraged a lot of people on the left because it was so nakedly corrupt. It was just so obvious. And you're not supposed to be that naked about the whole thing. It's not supposed to be obvious if you're going to be corrupt like they all are. You're supposed to keep it quiet. You can't give your son a backdated 11-year pardon. That tends to lead people to think, maybe they're not on the up and up. Now they have a pardon stain. Now, since you pardoned the president's son when you said you weren't going to, the president's son who's already been convicted, now it looks like you just pardoned criminals. Obvious criminals who happen to be on your side. Now you've stained any preemptive pardon you could possibly give them. They just can't get out of their own way. It's amazing. They cannot stop doing the things that are hurting them, and it's wonderful to watch. They can't do it. You know how they've had an ivory tower problem? We talked about that a lot. A lot of people talked about that. They've stopped being the party, or at least pretending to even be the party of the working man. It's just a bunch of elites on the coasts who look down their noses at everyone else. And now they keep talking down to everyone else. Tim Walz was interviewed. Hey, Tim, why didn't you win?
I think we're going to have to understand what type of leadership do they want. We were pledging to be inclusive. We were pledging to bring people in. Donald Trump has said that that isn't what he wants. And so if that's what America's leaning towards, I guess for me, it's to understand and learn more about America, because I thought that they were going to probably move towards a more positive message.
You definitely. Listen, Democrats, all you Democrats who hate listening to the show, I'm going to help you out here. I know you think I hate you because you're a dirty commie, but listen, I'm going to help you out right now. For the next several years, this year, next year, for the next several years, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep talking down to everybody who voted against you. Keep belittling them. Keep talking to them as if they're racists. Call them Nazis. Inform them often how stupid they are. Like whenever somebody complains about prices and inflation, the most important thing for you to do is tell them how great the economy is. Tell them they're stupid and they just don't understand the economic data like you do. Explain to every American who's upset with you why they're stupid and you're smart. And it'll be very, very effective. Very effective. Dear Jesse, I just heard a buying a truck email. Oh, that was from Friday. I'm wondering if you would recommend buying new or used. Is it true the value drops as soon as you drive it off the lot? Her name is Melanie. Melanie, oh, she goes on to say she lost her father in 2014. He was baptized 3 weeks before he died. Miracles happen. She said, I miss him to this day. My heart goes out to you. That's actually a wonderful story, though, Melanie. Look, new or used has been a debate since the dawn of time. We almost always bought used in our house because it is 100% true. The second that thing gets driven off the lot, the value goes down tremendously on cars. Look, yeah, that's a good point, Chris. There's certified used out there. And I'm not bad mouthing new. I've bought new before too. But if you're worried about holding its value, let someone else take that first appreciation hit. Also, let's go save a baby's life real quick. Let's save the life of a baby tonight. That's what preborn does. They save babies. Roe versus Wade got overturned. And preborn has realized that abortions, they haven't really slowed down. Because Roe versus Wade can't overpower the fact that women are now ordering abortion pills delivered to their homes. So how do you save that baby? Baby's in mortal danger. It's going to get killed in some teenage girl's bathroom. What do? You give that young lady a free ultrasound. That's what preborn does. When a woman hears that heartbeat, she chooses life almost every time because the baby becomes a baby in that moment for her. She was confused, lost, scared, but then she becomes a mother. Help introduce mothers to their babies. There's a baby who needs your $28 because that's what the ultrasound costs. Preborn.com/Jesse. Remember, it's all tax deductible. End of the year, you give them as much as you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. We still have an hour. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.